truth first. Starting with truth. Before we can proceed anywhere on anything, a trip, building a bridge, solving a world economic problem, we must gather all the information we need, and it must be correct. For our trip, we need to know the actual location of roads and hotels, not where they used to be or where we hope they are. For our bridge, we need to know the actual strength of our bolts and the load capacity of our I-beams. To solve an economic problem, we need to know who really did what, who really is doing what, and what is really being paid for what. If any information is in question, we must ascertain what is true, what is correct. Many facts taught in school have turned out to be incorrect. It is good, prudent, and proper to question what is true and what is not. To succeed in any endeavor, we must start with truth first. 2 + 3 = 5, not 7, not 5.5, not 5.003. Whether we like it or not, whether we want it to be true or not, whether we believe it or not. People can debate the meanings of 2, 3, 5, plus, and equals. For example, 2 could actually represent 2.01, 2.04, or 1.96, rounded. When added to 3, this could equal 5.01, 5.04, or 4.96, all of which can be represented by 5.0, but none by 5.00. This is simply the truth of the matter. When it comes to qualities, such as extroversion or intelligence or aggression, one must define how each quality is measured. Extroversion might be defined by the E-score on the Myers-Briggs Personality Assessment. Intelligence might be measured by the score on the Wechsler Adult Intelligence Scale. One might define aggression as determined by the number of times someone does these particular actions in this particular situation, as observed by these trained researchers. All statements can be refuted by assigning a different meaning or measuring tool to terms in the original statement. The Old Testament forbids charging usury, which meant interest in any amount. In order to practice usury without censure, people redefined usury to mean unreasonable interest, so whatever one thought was reasonable would be okay. This redefinition, in effect, nullified the original law. If someone redefines green to mean the color pink, the statement "grass is green" becomes false. To determine whether a statement is true, we must take the time to comprehend the definitions implicit in that statement. Sometimes people assume everyone knows what they mean and forget that definitions are even necessary. There have been endless debates about whether God exists, yet people rarely define what they mean by the term God. One person means one thing, someone else means something different, so the arguments lead nowhere. If we believe that 2 + 3 = 7, or 5.5, or anything other than 5, then when we try to build a bridge or solve an economic problem, we're going to run into insurmountable difficulties. No matter how benevolent our intentions, how capable our workers, or how sincere our beliefs or prayers, we will not be successful. Our failure would simply be a natural consequence of untruth. It's impersonal. Problems will persist until we learn and accept the truth of the matter. Beliefs and prayers cannot make 2 + 3 = 7. Acknowledging facts in three-dimensional reality is the starting point of truth and of sanity. Psychotherapists heal mental illness by speaking the truth at the appropriate time, dispelling untruth that the patient believed. All good psychotherapy combats lies. Evil starts with an untruth and lies continually, if subtly, thereafter. One of the artifices of evil is to induce people to believe that truth does not exist. To eliminate evil, one must start with revealing the truth first. Note, where duality exists, evil exists. An unpleasant truth is preferable by far to a pleasant lie. Untruth eventually thwarts our efforts and impedes our success. It can blindside us if we don't pay attention. If we face the truth early on, we can adjust our goal or path and actually make progress. If we foolishly proceed based on untruth, our foundation eventually collapses. By its very nature, the light of truth eliminates darkness and ignorance. Truth is important. We can't get anywhere without it. Without truth, there can be no justice, no rightness, no dharma, no pono. Without truth, there can be no love. Without truth, there can be sentiment, emotion, wishes, imagination, belief, but not love. To figure out what is true, we must look at what actually is, what one actually does, at the actual fruits. The Donut Machine Story. Just outside New York City is a huge rocket to the moon. It has a big flashing sign at the entrance that says, "Rocket to the Moon." It looks just like a rocket to the moon. Inside are many armed guards, scientists with security clearances, and equipment with flashing lights of many colors. It has a budget for a rocket to the moon, which is approved by Congress every year. News reporters write stories about the rocket to the moon nearly every week. It has had several scheduled launch dates, which have always been postponed so far. It has a rocket to the moon souvenir shop for tourists. Do you know what it does every day? It makes donuts, which the people of New York eat for breakfast. What is it? It is a donut machine. It thinks it is a rocket to the moon. It looks like a rocket to the moon. It wants to be a rocket to the moon. People say it is a rocket to the moon. But actually, it is a donut machine. To find out what someone actually is or wants, look at what one actually does. People always do what they really want to do. If they want something but do something else, it's because they wanted the something else more. What they think they are, what they say they are, and what they want to be are irrelevant. Look at the donut, what they actually do. My truth. A well-known lesson in psychology classes is to stage an unexpected event in the classroom, and then each student immediately writes down what happened. The reports are always shockingly different. That is the point. Perception is not the same as reality. Perception is always incomplete and is often not even factual. We may see a snake and think it is a rope, or see a rope and think it is a snake. Our perception may be truly what we think we perceived or noticed, but there is a huge amount of processing in our brains in between an event and our sensory perception of that event, and again between our perception and our impressions, feelings, and memory about our perception. All of us have filters on our perception. If we're in pain, our normal sensitivities are dulled. If we're afraid of something, we may deny or fail to perceive evidence of it, or we may be hypervigilant and sense it when it's not there. If we have a firm opinion or belief, we may not perceive evidence that it might be wrong, or we may simply reject the evidence outright without considering it, which is bigotry. Fear plays an especially important role in perception itself, as well as in our ability to correctly interpret perceptions and information. Careful perception can lead us toward truth, but perception is not in itself truth. This doesn't mean that there is no such thing as truth. We may not know the truth, but the truth about everything exists. Johnny really did or didn't rob the bank. People's perception about the robber's height, clothing, and voice may be different, but either it was Johnny or it wasn't. If perception were truth, reality, then our furniture and even our bodies would disappear when we sleep, since while sleeping we don't perceive them. Yet all we have to do is ask someone to watch us while we sleep to see if we disappear, or run a video camera. Our bodies and furniture don't disappear. We thus call our bodies and furniture reality. It is a shared reality. It is not personal. Someone can truly think or feel that the body does not exist while sleeping, or that 2 + 3 = 7. But in reality, the body exists, and 2 + 3 = 5. Many people think that their perceptions are equivalent to facts. Psychologists, in order to help clients heal and grow, need to help people acknowledge their own emotions and sensations. Someone invented the expression, "my truth," to help in just this type of endeavor. My truth means what I truly feel, or what I perceived, or what I really think, or what I believe. It is not what we call truth, a factual objective statement about reality. My truth may be a real feeling, a real perception, or what the speaker really thinks, but it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with objective reality. My truth is that Johnny robbed the bank is an absurd statement. He either did or he didn't, and there's no my about it. My truth is that Mary is angry is equally absurd. Mary might be angry, but she might not be. It may be correct to say, "I think Mary is angry," or "I am afraid because Mary might be angry," or "Mary sent me an email with the subject in capital letters," or "Mary shouted at me and I feel hurt," or "Mary's facial expression reminds me of my mother's when my mother beat me severely." But someone's perceptions and feelings are not the same as facts. Maybe Mary wasn't angry at all. Maybe she was alarmed and shouted to prevent an accident. Maybe Mary simply wanted to increase the chances that her email would be read. Maybe she had just remembered a terrible scene in a movie that resulted in her facial expression. We don't know whether Mary was angry or not until we ask Mary whether she was angry, and also until we ascertain how aware she is of her emotions and how honest she is likely to be in her response. Some people are consciously aware of their emotions, some are not. Some people admit their feelings, some don't. Some people think it is wrong to be angry, and they are unlikely to admit to feeling angry even if they are. My truth is a helpful concept in psychology. It is highly recommended that we always tell ourselves the truth about what we perceive and feel. But my truth is not at all the same as truth or reality. As psychiatrist Scott Peck put it, mental health is an ongoing process of dedication to reality at all costs. Truth, objective factual reality, exists. In this three-dimensional world, our furniture is real, our bodies are real, and 2 plus 3 really equals 5. Truth, security, and comfort. Sometimes the truth is mighty uncomfortable. If we have been living with a spouse for 20 years and believe we are both very happy in our marriage, and suddenly we get sued for divorce, it is shocking and hurtful. If we have believed since childhood that we are genetically descended from a great religious master and have a special place in heaven, and then we see genetic evidence that we have no relation to that master, it can turn our whole world upside down. If we have been taught by sincere, loving teachers since childhood that a certain event occurred in history, that the planets move in certain ways for certain reasons, that certain foods are good and even necessary for our survival, and then we see very credible evidence to the contrary, it calls into question everything else we were ever taught by anyone. Such experience is scary, discouraging, and can be overwhelming. Believing that one's opinions are true causes people to feel confident. Most people have an inordinate need to be right, inordinate because the feeling of being right assumes more importance than the truth of the matter. People sometimes become extremely disturbed when their opinions or beliefs are challenged with facts. One research study showed that when presented with facts that contradicted a strongly held opinion, most people became more entrenched in their opinion instead of more open to truth. When people see or hear a truth they find unpleasant, they often deny it without reason. They simply refuse to consider it. They proceed as if it didn't exist. A Nobel Prize-winning scientist was once asked during a convention speech about a certain theoretical prediction, and he replied, "I don't believe in unicorns and I don't discuss them." The prediction was later shown by experiments to be correct and has since given rise to technology that is familiar today. Truth can be frightening and challenging. If one thinks information threatens one's livelihood, safety, reputation, or worldview, one is likely to either not see it or not take it in, no matter how intelligent or rational one is the rest of the time. In addition, most people have traumatic memories buried deeply in their subconscious. To avoid re-experiencing their fear and pain, people may lie, steal, beg, cheat, or drink. Only when a current pain is as great as the original one are most people willing to uncover a fearful, traumatic memory. Fear also inhibits our ability to reason, remember, and connect the dots. Humans are easily controlled through fear. People are more strongly motivated by fear of loss than by attraction for something desirable. Intellectuals often mistakenly think they are above being manipulated, but salespeople and spies know better. Human beings are often more tribal than truthful. In previous eras, rejection by one's tribe was a death sentence, but not so today. However, people still tend to accept ideas of their own tribe or group as true and reject ideas or factual evidence from other sources. Independent thought and evaluation of facts is far less common than one would expect based on our level of technology and so-called intelligence. It is important that we be honest with ourselves first. Most of the time, we had an inkling, a gut feeling, that our spouse was unhappy, that the story about our ancestry was questionable, or that a food wasn't good for us. We had some evidence, a fleeting facial expression, a logical flaw, a pain after eating. We ignored our gut feelings and our evidence because we wanted to believe in our cozy fallacy. We wanted to feel comfortable, safe, and secure. We wanted things to stay the same. Change is inherently frightening and can be difficult. Some people find it easier to pretend that a fantasy is real, until reality hits them between the eyes and they have to work much harder and more quickly with more stress. In our insecure world where injury, illness, and death can arrive without warning, human beings have an innate psychological need for security, to feel safe, whether we actually are or not. To satisfy this mental need, we make up reasons and imagine we are secure, and then we believe it. People also have a need to believe that their decisions and whatever they have done in the past are right. It's painful to realize that one made foolish mistakes or caused harm unintentionally. Many people choose illusion rather than admit to being wrong. False security, though it be, belief in our security and being right satisfies a psychological need. It would be nice if we had all grown up being taught the great spiritual truths about life, death, and the nature of existence, for then we wouldn't fear. Until we become aware of these great truths, it actually serves the human mind to temporarily believe in some measure of false security. However, we can waste a lot of our time, energy, heart, and desiring by going down paths with a critical untruth in hand. In the end, it's not worth it. Instead of rushing headlong toward a fantasy and falling flat on a diverted path, we're better off taking time to make adjustments as soon as we realize they're needed and actually reach our goal. Truth can carry us across the troubled sea of life. Untruth never can. When truth dawns on us, it's like the sunrise. Darkness disappears. Ignorance disappears. Without truth, fear abounds. We're not sure which direction to go or how to proceed. When we see the truth of a situation, fear recedes, even if it doesn't disappear, because we can at least see our way and aim toward a real solution. When all be told, truth is more comfortable than fiction. Truth is more secure than fiction. Truth is safer than fiction. Truth doesn't have to make effort. It just shines like the sun in all its glory for all who are willing to see. Truth stands on its own. People can temporarily hide truth or hide from truth, but eventually it reveals itself. Truth alone triumphs. Truth and imagination. Imagination is one of humanity's most valuable abilities. We create by using our imagination first. As De Saint-Exupéry wrote, "A rock pile ceases to be a rock pile the moment a single man contemplates it, bearing within him the image of a cathedral." We can influence our moods and mental states, our performance, and our biology, including our heart rate, blood pressure, pain level, and healing, by using our imagination. Our physical reality can be affected by our imagination and beliefs, but just imagining or believing something does not automatically make it true. It is vital that we continue to be grounded in three-dimensional factual reality as we explore with imagination and decide what we really wish to create. One advantage of our slow, three-dimensional world is that every thought we have does not manifest automatically. We must diligently discipline our minds before we are ready to enter a realm where what we imagine appears instantly. Such realms exist, we are told, However, we don't enter them by ignoring or denying truth in our three-dimensional world. We don't approach expanded consciousness when we are routinely or occasionally dishonest, or if we are unclear about the difference between fact and fiction, between reality, perception, and imagination. Every day, we imagine that things are true, without really knowing, and act accordingly. We assume shops will be open, cars will stay in their lanes and stop at red lights, everyone will show up as planned, the bank will keep our money and give it to us when we want it. We do this hundreds of times per day. We have to. We often act and feel as though what we imagined were true. We forget that we have assumed so much. We take our imaginings as truth rather than as possibilities. This doesn't seem to be a problem since most of our assumptions are correct day after day. Also, we often presume that it was Johnny who robbed the bank, that Mary is angry, that our spouse is happy, that our favorite politician is telling the truth, that the government wouldn't do that horrible thing, so it couldn't have happened. We believe in our wishful fantasies, which make us feel good and safe. We accept evidence that supports our opinions and beliefs, and reject or ignore other evidence. A businessman asks an engineer, "What's 2 plus 2? The engineer uses his slide rule and answers, "4." The businessman then asks a broker the same question. The broker replies, "Buying or selling?" Then the businessman asks his accountant. The accountant shuts the door, closes the drapes, and whispers, "What do you want it to be?" The problem with accepting evidence only if it aligns with what we want is that we end up living in a fantasy world that we don't realize is imaginary because we ignored all evidence to the contrary. We forget that our assumptions were assumptions. We forget that we ignored what we didn't want to see. In order to feel safe, we accepted only evidence that confirmed our beliefs and desires. Then we believed in our imaginary reality, my truth. Then we became even more entrenched in our beliefs, which were built more and more upon imagination and selected facts rather than truth, all of the facts. Stopping the cycle is painful, and most people don't do it voluntarily. When untoward events eventually occur, we're shocked and unprepared. Our spouse wants to divorce. Our social support system collapses when we question religious beliefs. We get sick from food that's not good for us. Our bank won't give us our money. Our favorite politician turns out to be corrupt. Our government really did do that horrible thing. It's difficult and humbling to admit that what we thought was true wasn't. When we have made assumptions that were incorrect, and then our expectations don't materialize, we tend to blame others. This results in misunderstandings, hard feelings, wasted time and resources, and much misery. Our anger at others dissipates when we realize that we ourselves made an incorrect assumption and we had no right to expect them to fulfill it. It's so important to remember the difference between imagination and assumptions and actual fact. Looking at an elephant from the front, we see a trunk. The trunk is a fact, reality. When we look from far away, the elephant looks very different from just a trunk. If we watch it over time, we will gather an even more complete picture of the elephant. The trunk is not the whole elephant, but the trunk is still real. From a limited perspective, we can only see part of the truth, but it's still part of the truth. It's not false. It's just not whole. We do not proceed to other realities until we are grounded in this one. We enter higher realms not by denying facts or truth in this one, but by accepting reality here on earth and then turning our attention toward another way of looking at things. We then view everything from another perspective, from which reality indeed looks quite different, but it doesn't negate what we see when we look from our previous perspective within this realm. After seeing things from a new perspective, we realize that our three-dimensional world is not real in the same way as we thought before, but when we look with three-dimensional perspective, we still see a trunk, apples still fall down from trees, and 2 + 3 = 5. People who speak with intelligence and integrity about other realities are people who have first accepted the physical reality of Earth, space, and time. It may not be the final reality, but it is temporary reality on Earth, and they have accomplished real things in it. They know the difference between truth, perception, and imagination, and the importance of all three. The success of quantum physics in explaining subatomic phenomena is no excuse to deny the reality that a bank robbery actually occurred. With quantum physics, 2 + 3 = 5, however, our notion of discrete objects disappears. We can't distinguish where or when one thing begins or ends. In one type of experiment, the thing appears to be a certain size or within a particular region during a certain period of time. But in another experiment, the same type of thing appears to extend infinitely. We can't catch a subatomic thing the way we can hold an apple. So 2 and 3 can't be used to count subatomic things the way we can reliably count apples. Sometimes people jump to unwarranted conclusions or use scientific-sounding arguments without understanding the science to escape, avoid, or deny facts they wish weren't true. There is much evidence that reality isn't quite what we thought, that some laws of physics aren't quite correct, that many things most of us believe aren't possible really are possible. Many events we can't explain do occur. Some of them are called miracles. The more we discover, the more we realize we don't understand. Some people who claim to have experience in secret technology programs say that gravity is actually electromagnetic in nature. Numerous people, some with high credentials, claim that humanity has vehicles and technology that can go faster than the speed of light and reach other star systems. However, when we stand on the ground and throw an apple upward, it still comes down. Beyond the five. Note, we actually have 9 officially recognized senses, including orientation in space, temperature, balance, and physiological condition. With all said about the importance of staying grounded in our three-dimensional physical reality, the truth of the matter is that truth cannot be garnered from our physical senses alone. As the little prince said, "But the eyes are blind. One must look with the heart." We sense with our gut. We feel in our bones. We perceive with our heart. We detect in our conscience. We pick things up with intuition. Animals know from a distance whether another animal is friendly or threatening by its body language, and so can we. Attitudes and feelings are essential to good relationships, and we primarily communicate them nonverbally. The music of someone's voice, intonation, volume, tempo, cadence, is even more important than the words. We learn to distinguish sensory input from our 5 physical senses when we are babies. We detect the difference between mother's touch and father's, between one face and another, between one voice and another. We hear whether footsteps are mother's, father's, or the pet's. Our senses don't come automatically programmed like the sensors in cars or homes. We learn to interpret signals from our bodily senses by accumulating data and matching it with actual events. It is the same with our other senses. We gather data, and when we pay attention to the data and to subsequent events, our interpretation of our sensations becomes more accurate. We can fine-tune all of our senses. It's not automatic. It requires that we pay attention, not jump to conclusions, and be honest with ourselves. None of our senses, from eyesight to intuition, is infallible or 100% reliable. All are vulnerable to errors in perception and interpretation, illusion, and bias. We need to evaluate and weigh all of our sense perceptions. We need to know ourselves and be honest with ourselves about which of our sensations are more accurate in which situations and what our weak areas and biases are. To arrive at truth, even in mundane affairs, we have to incorporate more than our five basic senses. To protect ourselves, we have to pay attention to gut feelings that someone nearby might assault us, or that a car might cut right in front of us. To hire a good employee or employer, we have to pay attention to our feelings during an interview, not just reputation or scores on paper. Decades ago, bankers with a banker's nose were more successful predictors of who would pay back loans than any set of checkboxes. The most successful executives and scientists look at data and information, combine it with their knowledge and experience, and then decide based on intuition and gut instinct. Sixth senses are not magical or special. Everyone has them. They become refined when we pay attention to them and to facts revealed later, adding 2 and 3 to get 5, and being honest with ourselves about all of it. Intuition comes with subtle bodily sensations. Subtle feelings are easily overwhelmed by strong physical feelings or emotions, but they can be recalled later. It is wise to take note of all of our feelings. They are the first stage of our inner guidance system and help us to communicate with and know what is unseen, but nonetheless real. Thousands of years ago, sages told us that this world isn't real. More and more people today are exploring consciousness and telling us the same message. What is real? And what does real mean? Definitions are crucial. By real, the sages meant unchanging. Anything that changes is ephemeral, not real according to that wise definition. Remember, humans have a natural need for certainty, security, safety. One would expect sages to seek what is real, what doesn't change, the ultimate and only real security. This unchanging reality is also the real truth. Ultimate truth. When we accept facts, what is true and real in three-dimensional space and time, elephants have a trunk, apples fall down, 2 plus 3 equals 5, we can still be open to other perspectives. When we have understood the difference between perceptions, impressions, imagination, and factual reality, when we are willing to bear with discomforts, big and small, in favor of what is really true rather than what we wish were true, then we might be able to perceive ultimate truth. And now, here is my secret, a very simple secret. It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. From The Little Prince. It doesn't have to take long, but it usually does. There is no requirement to have a teacher, but it helps if the teacher is truly able. The stronger one's intellect, the greater the hurdles, the greater the work required, and usually the greater the pride of knowledge or accomplishment that must be relinquished. Intellect can help, but it must be guided constantly by the reins of our soul. There is a reason that spiritual enlightenment is called enlightenment. Truth, like light, dispels darkness, ignorance, and fear effortlessly, just by its nature. In the course of spiritual enlightenment, the light of truth shines on aspects of ourselves that were dark, crude, hidden. The light of intellect illumines our emotions and instincts, and we are moved to act truly human, humane, intelligent, compassionate, wise, balancing short-term benefits with long-term. Truth shows us that in the long term, immorality of any kind isn't worth it. Evil is actually extremely foolish. It prevents us from seeing mundane truth, and it prevents us from realizing ultimate truth. Truth does indeed set us free, first from delusion, then from immorality, and finally from illusion itself. Once one decides to seek ultimate truth, one discovers that the journey becomes easier and faster by eliminating baggage of resentment, condemnation, noxious habits of thought and body, beliefs, attachments, and unnecessary desires. Ultimate truth is beyond the intellect. It can be expressed in poetry, but any series of words falls short and becomes so lengthy that it's practically useless. The more we try to understand it intellectually, the less we do, because it cannot be understood. It can only be innerstood. My nature is the bliss of pure consciousness. Shankaracharya. The boy reached through to the soul of the world and saw that it was a part of the soul of God, and he saw that the soul of God was his own soul, and that he, a boy, could perform miracles. Paulo Coelho, the Alchemist. In our progress toward ultimate truth, all sets of duality dissolve. We see that each set of seeming opposites, I and not I, light and dark, up and down, good and bad, yin and yang, dissolve or resolve into only one. There is neither creation nor destruction, neither destiny nor free will, neither path nor achievement. This is the final truth. Ramana Maharshi. The ultimate truth of oneness, non-duality, is only expressed with integrity when the speaker is actually in this state of consciousness. Jesus was clearly in this state of consciousness when he said, "I and the Father are one." Mystics in a state of oneness write poetry and dance in ecstasy. Krishna was in this state when he told a reluctant warrior to fight against evildoers because the soul is eternal and cannot be killed. But most people who read about this state of consciousness have not experienced it. In our three-dimensional space-time, opposites exist. We need them and work with them. It is at a higher level of awareness where they dissolve, a level that is beyond the mind and intellect, but which is reachable in consciousness. Believing in this non-duality, or even having experienced it temporarily, does not justify misapplication of higher truth to earthly life. "We are all one, so I really didn't do anything to you. I'm not responsible." "There is no good or bad, right or wrong. Everything is good. It doesn't matter what we do or don't do." "There is no such thing as truth, so I can completely ignore that information." "No one really owns anything, so it's impossible to steal. Besides, things aren't real." There is no doer and no deed, and thus no karma or law of karma. There are no consequences and there should be no punishments for anything. Duality exists in our three-dimensional realm, and oneness, non-duality, exists in others. Seemingly separate from you, I perceive all around the world, consisting of you, filled with your beloved. Upamanyu. And the truth shall set you free. John the Evangelist. Seeking ultimate truth is optional, but if we do want to perceive it, it's always there, all the time. It doesn't hide. We only need to eliminate our baggage, and there it stands, shining in full glory, like the sun. And there is sweetness in the laughter of all the stars. From the Little Prince.